All right, it's now time to go to the expert hotline and a returning guest joining us here on the podcast. He is a columnist on Ivy Hoops Online covering Yale, but of course knows much more than just the Yale programs. It's Richard Kent joining us here on the podcast. How are you, Richard?
Great. How are you?
Doing very well, and thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us. And it's now Ivy League tournament time this weekend in Philadelphia, as both the men and the women will get underway for the right to punch their ticket to the big dance. And I guess now that everything's all set and squared away as far as the teams that are in and the seedings, Richard, just kind of want to get your overall thoughts on the first, we'll talk about the men's side of things. Your thoughts, your most surprising team, disappointing team, and then obviously your take on the Bulldogs and what you saw this season.
I will do that in 1 second, but I want to mention that I was at Columbia for the Yale-Columbia game 2 weeks ago, and in the old days, let's say 8 years ago, 3 years ago even, nobody would have been cheering. The place would have been half empty, and there were people screaming because Columbia, both Columbia and Yale, needed to win to get into the Ivy tournament. And I turned to the guy next to me who's been a Columbia season ticket holder for 30 years, and he said to me, "You know what? This is why the Ivy tournament is great, because tonight's game is meaningful." And I think that says a mouthful. The guy was, you know, in his early 80s, had been to games for about 30 years, and he said he wouldn't have gone to that game if there was no Ivy tournament.
Yeah, and I think that is a collective thought for a lot of people. I mean, I've been covering the Ivy League now for 6 years. And even though covering Dartmouth, you know, they weren't in it, but there was meaningful basketball to be played with, obviously, Columbia and Cornell here last weekend. I mean, this, I think, just sells the tournament itself. Now, whether or not it, you know, being held at the Palestra every year, that's a different story. But this is great. I don't see how people cannot not like it.
All right, let's go to your question. I apologize for that anecdote. Obviously, on the men's side, the surprise team is Cornell. They inched in by default, I guess. Princeton had that horrific loss up at Cornell, 22-point lead with 12 minutes to go, and they lost it. They had a horrible loss at home to Brown when Desmond Cambridge hit an impossible shot against them, and of course they lost the game they had to win at the end at Yale when Yale had nothing to play for but pride, and pride won out. So Princeton, the big disappointment on the men's side, Cornell, obviously the surprise team, and ironically, Cornell runs a lot of Princeton stuff because Brian Earle was at Princeton with Mitch Henderson.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that Princeton offense last week here in Hanover in the Saturday night win for the Cornell Big Red. But I mean, let's just kind of look at Cornell here, Richard, in the big picture here. I mean, nobody had them at this juncture of the season. And I mean, obviously Matt Morgan, Stone Gettings, those two guys have played really well, but I mean, Brian Earle and what he's done here in just a short amount of time to get into the top four seed with a team that nobody really thought could get there. I mean, that's pretty impressive for the folks out in Ithaca.
It's impressive. And he didn't do it even with his own players.
Right.
So, I mean, he coached up another coach's players and he's got to be given a lot of credit. They probably haven't come out with the Coach of the Year award yet, unless you've seen it, but I see three candidates for it. Obviously, Steve Donohue did a great job at Penn, but I think Penn is the most talented team in the Ivy League, top to bottom. Brian did a fabulous job at Cornell, and I think that James Jones, when you lose Jordan Bruner, when you lose Makai Mason, and you have basically in November to start from scratch and integrate two freshmen, you know, Paul Atkinson turned into Tim Duncan at the end of the year. So I think those three coaches have to be given a lot of credit. Yale, I thought Yale was going to go 13-1 with Bruner and Mason, but going 9-5 and winning their last six in conference, I thought was just a testament to James Jones's coaching.
Yeah, let's look at the Bulldogs here, and part of that success down the stretch for the Bulldogs was Mieoni and the way that he's played. I know it wasn't the start to the Ivy League season that most had hoped, but he's really playing well as of late, and getting a first team All Ivy named today. Oni's been playing really well this past couple of games here. That's been fun to watch.
I think that from a pure basketball talent perspective, in speaking to NBA scouts who occasionally frequent Payne Whitney Gymnasium, I think Mieoni could be an NBA player if he develops a better outside shot. The Mieoni against Columbia in that game that I referenced previously, in which he drove to the basket with impunity and could not be stopped, was a mighty impressive player. I would say that Mieoni and A.J. Broder right now are playing at the highest level of any Ivy League player.
And it's interesting, and you have to like the way that Yale responded coming off that loss to Harvard on national TV and to win four in a row. I mean, that's where you kind of build the character of a team, though, Richard. You've watched a lot of basketball. How do you respond coming off a tough loss, and Yale goes out by winning four in a row to close out the regular season?
Six in a row.
So, I mean, you got to like the way that the team answered, and obviously Coach Jones has to get the credit for that.
He does, and you had players step up. I mean, Trey Phils in 2017-18 was basically what Alex Copeland was last year in replacing, you know, I don't know if replacing is the right word, but in substituting for Mekhi Mason. You needed offense. You needed offense from the guard position. Copeland did not have a good shooting year, and you had Phils. A similar player, perhaps, to Copeland, but a better shooter from the outside, step right in. And, you know, then, you know, you needed somebody underneath to replace Sam Downey, one of the most efficient offensive players in the Ivy League in years. And you've got Paul Atkinson, the freshman, doing it. And you don't want to eliminate or rule out Ozzer Swain either, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Massachusetts last year from the Rivers School.
And in his hometown, Brockton, Massachusetts, not too far from where I grew up. Richard Kent joining us here on the hotline. All right, let's take a look at the matchups this weekend for the men's Ivy League tournament before we switch over to the women's side. And we'll start with the 1-4 matchup, Harvard and Cornell. Just your initial thoughts on this matchup and who you like, who you give the advantage to.
Well, listen, you got to give the advantage to Harvard. I mean, Harvard is a tremendously complete team. Lewis is just so difficult to stop inside. I think Aiken's going to be back at the point guard position. I can't imagine, but stranger than that. Listen, I couldn't imagine that Penn would beat Princeton last year in the first game, and they basically gave the game away. So, but I'm gonna pick Harvard in an 8-10 point game.
Looking at the 2-3 matchup, it's Penn and it's Yale. Of course, Yale, a team that you see quite often here. How do you see this thing swinging?
Well, you know, you've got Yale's got to be in Penn's head a little bit. They just beat Penn on Friday night by a point. Great play at the end with Atkinson scoring on a perfect pass from Mieoni, who was double-teamed by Penn. I think that's going to be a tight game. I would favor Penn in the game because it's on their home floor, but it's certainly a game that Yale can win, and Yale proved that they can win it because they just beat Penn. And I believe, I didn't check this stat, but when they lost to Penn at the Palestra by about 7 or 8, I think Yale was 1-for-19 from 3. And you're probably not going to see them go 1-for-19. And an interesting byproduct, and I mentioned this to a couple of people at the Yale-Princeton game on Saturday, is I almost think that Yale would be better off if Princeton was the number 4 team for two reasons. Number one, I think Princeton would have more than a puncher's chance to beat Harvard. They just lost to Harvard in overtime at Jadwin a couple weeks ago. And number two, the crowd. Princeton and Penn bring the most fans. Obviously, Penn the most because it's their floor, and Princeton the second most because they're closest and they have a very fervent fan base. The the Princeton fans in the second game would be rooting for Yale over Penn because they hate Penn. So that would assist Yale as well. But I think all things being equal, James Jones would rather win the last game of the year than count on those two factors.
So in your scenario, you would have Penn and Harvard meeting in the championship game. Who do you think is going dancing?
I would stick with the home four and the home team and call it to be the narrowest of games, but say that Harvard will probably win a Penn will probably win a 2-3 point game.
All right, let's switch things over to the women's side. And, of course, Princeton getting the regular season title. They'll be the 1 seed, Penn at the 2 seed, Harvard at the 3 seed. And then the Yale Bulldogs at the 4 spot. And it's interesting, Richard, we had Tom Beckett on the show last week, and Jill had asked him about, you know, bringing in Allison Guth and revitalizing the program. And, you know, she had asked, you know, how surprised was he and the folks at Yale that, you know, success had come this early on. And he kind of hinted that, you know, didn't expect it to happen this early, but Yale getting that 4th spot, and they did it with a little bit of a cliffhanger towards the end, really having to work their tails off to come from behind and beat Columbia.
That's true, but Yale does have a couple of veteran players on the team. Tamara Simpson and Jen Berkowitz are the guts of that team. Tamara Simpson is an incredible defender. I'm assuming, I haven't seen it. I don't know if it came out yet.
She was Defensive Player of the Year.
She is the Defensive Player of the Year?
Yes.
Okay, well, she should be. She averaged 5 or 6 steals a game, which is just unheard of. I saw her, I forget against whom, might have been Princeton, actually, with 9 steals in a game.
Wow.
You got to remember, they beat Princeton, and they beat them handily
right
at home.
Right.
And they lost to Princeton at Princeton by the smallest margin of any Ivy League women's team losing to Princeton at Jadwin. Princeton averaged winning their Ivy League games, the other 6 Ivy League games at Jadwin, by 25 points. And I think they beat Yale by 7 or 8 on Saturday night.
All right, let's get your picks on this one. We'll start with the 1-4 matchup, and it's Princeton and Yale. Like you said, the Bulldogs have played Princeton tough, including getting a big win. And as we were talking about, Jill and I earlier, you know, who would have thought back then how big of a win that would be for Yale going into the rest of the season to kind of keep Dartmouth at arm's length away from that 4 spot. But how do you see the 1-4 matchup breaking down between the Tigers and the Bulldogs?
I think that Princeton is the more complete team. Abby Myers has disappointed me this year. I thought she would, and I think that she may have hit a wall, a freshman wall. I thought she was the best rush coming into the Ivy League season this year, but Allery and Robinson are really tough to stop underneath. They've both had 15 rebound games this year, and I see a similar game to the Saturday night game at Jadwin. I think Yale controlled tempo pretty well. They kept it either in the high 50s or the low 60s. I think it'll be that type of a game, because Allison is good at controlling tempo, but I think Princeton will win a 7-8 point game.
And the 2-3 matchup, Penn and Harvard, and I'm sure Harvard, if only this game could be in Cambridge. They were 12-0 this year at home. How do you see the Quakers and the Crimson going?
Well, the bad news is it's in Philadelphia. And Penn is tough at home. Penn is a better team than Harvard, I think. I'll use the word complete again. I think they're a more complete team, even though I think that the demarcation between Penn and Princeton is greater. Princeton, I think, is that much better than Penn than the demarcation is between the Harvard and Penn men. But I see Penn winning that for a Penn Princeton third game matchup, the real true rivals in the Ivy League.
So with those two true rivals, Richard, how do you see in breaking it down? Can Penn make it 3 in a row?
I think Princeton's playing the best basketball right now in the Ivy League, and I'm going to go with the Tigers in, I don't know if I'm going to say it's a nail biter, but I'm going to go with the Tigers by 3 to 5 points in that game.
All right. You heard it here first. Richard Kent's big predictions. And how will you be taking in the Ivy League tournament this weekend? Will you be at Philly or will you be watching it for the comforts of your own home?
No, I'll be in Philly. I'm doing the Yale Princeton women's game at 6 o'clock on Saturday night on WYBC radio. And I'm covering the Yale men's game against Harvard for Ivy Hoops.
There we go. So hopefully we'll see you down there. And Richard, appreciate your insight. Always fun to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. And I just want to say that next year you are going to have in Penn, Harvard, and Yale, because of the dearth of graduations on the men's side, you're going to have three powerful teams.
Looking forward to it, as always. Thanks, Richard.
Take care.
Big thanks to Richard Kent, who joined us here on the podcast. As we sign off here, a pre-Ivy League tournament. Looking forward to it. Jill, you're going to be down there live. So if you're listening and you see Jill, say hey. She'll wave back. But should be a lot of fun, Jill. Safe travels down to the Palestra.
I got to make sure I wear some neutral colors, you know, living up here and
working
at Dartmouth.
Jersey.
I have a lot of green on. Yeah. You know what? You're right. My Carson Wentz jersey. I'll get that.
You can wear your Carson Wentz jersey because it won't be in front of me. So that'll be good. All right. That'll do it for us here on the podcast. Thanks for everybody who tuned in. Enjoy the Ivy League tournament. Should be fun. We'll see you.